what challenges for women were brought to light because of the pandemic?
You know, a year ago, we never could have envisioned, obviously, the length and the impact and the disproportionate impact for women. I think the major thing that's been brought to light is that caregiving is a really important role and a really important job, and one that is held and, you know, by primarily by women. And that, you know, our society really rests on the back of women in some of the most essential positions. So whether it's caregiving for our children or for our elders, or, you know, in so many of the different health systems, you know, nursing roles. And we know that a disproportionate number of essential personnel have been women. And so they have, you know, they've shouldered and carried us through this as women in their professional roles, from grocery store to the ICU. And at the same time, you know, they have tried to balance or figure out how to also take care of their caregiving role at home.
Before the pandemic, we talked about caregiving deserts here in the Western New York area and across New York State. But so since the pandemic began, here we are a year later. Has the situation gotten better, worse, stayed the same?
You know, more than 2.3 million women have left the workforce, and that's about one out of every four women. It was 80% of total job losses in December, and another 86% of total losses in December, and another 80% of women who left the workforce in January. And most of the women who are reported either taking time off, leaving entirely, or stepping down from a position are doing so because of a lack of childcare. And so there's been this concurrent ongoing employment crisis that is closely aligned with a widespread caregiving crisis that has, again, disproportionately impacted women, predominantly and especially women of color, who are often paid in the lower wage service sectors. So in Western New York, we actually had the highest rate of childcare center closures of the state. And we anticipate as a state and as a country that many of the 600,000 childcare workers that have been put out of work during this crisis will remain out of work, and that our childcare deserts will only grow. And obviously, I think what we have learned is if there is not a safe, educational, high quality, accessible, and affordable place for children to be, then mom, primarily mom, will not be working. And at this point, women, working women have now lost more than three decades of labor force gains in less than a year. It is truly astonishing and deeply concerning.
Well, let me catch my breath there, because that really knocked me in the gut too. Often we look to lawmakers for help with fixing things that we can't fix ourselves. But what can women themselves do to not only survive this pandemic, but thrive coming out of it?
Yeah, we believe women are the solution. So as much as, you know, they have been disproportionately impacted by all of this, we also hope and encourage women to find their voice. And you know, this is where the Western New York Women's Foundation has been working with employers beginning early last spring to say, listen to these women and reinvent your work site to work for these families and work for these women. And I think, you know, we know that bringing women to the table and having their voice at the table is essential to the prosperity and productivity of any company, but also to our community.
Yeah, you guys are working on this every single day. Here in Western New York, like you say, you've been reaching out to companies and asking folks to reach out to you. What has been the enthusiasm for this? Is the light bulb going off?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, it has been the pandemic that has opened a lot of eyes. And really, it's been the remote schooling aspect. I think, again, many companies still don't understand the caretaking role and the need for someone to care for our children in their most formative, you know, early years. But certainly when the schools closed and all of a sudden, You know, again, mom primarily is home trying to work full time, take care of the children as they so often do, and be the school teacher. That really, from a mental health and strain standpoint on women, has been a tipping point, and thus the number of women leaving the workforce. So I think more and more employers, we actually gathered our all-in employers last Friday and had this conversation about, you know, what are you doing to support women in the workplace? And I think to the extent possible that, you know, many of our local employers are really trying to get creative in allowing work from home and providing some supports and enhancing their mental health supports for women and for employees, and really looking at things differently.
Of course, this is not to say that men aren't struggling as well, but there is a way to work together, correct?
Yeah, you know, listen, this is taking all of us. And I think, you know, we, the Western New York Women's Foundation, is rooted in data. And the reality of it is the data shows that women take a considerable role in child rearing and in the activities of the home. And even during the pandemic, while dads and partners who may have been home may have increased their role, the reality of it is that it's still not at the level of women, and men are returning to the workforce much quicker. I think the other element here we have to remember is the number of single female head of household, many of whom have not had the luxury. So 78% of women were working pre-pandemic, 40% were the primary breadwinners. They don't have the luxury of not going to work. And so, you know, again, how can we as a community, how can we as employers look at this differently to support them? This is not about, you know, men or versus women and taking care of children. It's really just about, you know, what the data shows is the reality of our current communities.
And as you mentioned, it's not just through a gender lens that we're looking at this, but through a racial one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the disproportionate nature of our Black and Brown sisters in terms of not having the luxury of working remote, of being the primary breadwinner, of being vulnerable to lower wage and worse job quality, and not having the ability to take time off or again work remotely is, you know, has really risen as well. We have an opportunity, a once in a lifetime opportunity in New York State, and certainly as a country, with a significant infusion of federal dollars for childcare and for family supports and supports for children in the form of tax credits. And, you know, we have one opportunity to do that right. And so we are working closely with our elected leaders. And a lot of powers that be and a lot of wisdom and brain trust to say, you know, here's the best use for this this funding to really create systemic change that supports childcare centers, that supports the primarily women and Black and Brown women working in those childcare centers to have a living wage, that supports parents to be able to afford childcare, and that grows our economy. Because we get working parents back to work. We know from our colleagues in Quebec that the return on investment of that sort of model is one that is greater than 100% just in the tax revenues driven back. So, you know, we need to make an investment in a different system of childcare that supports working parents moving forward. And now is the one opportunity to do that.
I didn't have a chance to look in the new bill that they passed or are about to pass. How much hope is there in that?
There is significant hope. There is New York is slated to get about $1.8 billion. That is in addition to the funds we've already gotten in the first two stimulus acts, specifically for childcare. There also is a kind of advanced parental tax credit that will be significant, and again, based on a child's development, is actually weighted heavier in the first 6 years for a child's development for a parent. And so there really are all of these opportunities to do it right, to create from a social justice standpoint a system that works for all of our families. But it's going to take political will to do that. And I think, you know, I applaud our elected officials on the Child and Family Services Committees of the Assembly and the Senate, who are working with us, and the New York State Child Care Task Force that has studied this now for 2.5 years and actually met with Quebec to say, you know, we fundamentally have to do this differently. We can't just put Band-Aids on something and expect it to be any different on the other side of this pandemic.
We're talking billions of dollars that have already been put into this system. I don't know what the total number would be over the last year, but, you know, it's really daunting.
Right. I think, you know, the money that has been allocated in the past, in the last bill, the federal bill, and this American Rescue Act, was about $50 billion for childcare. That was not just a number that was picked out of, you know, out of the air. That was by many of the national organizations was calculated specifically to meet the needs. And in New York, what we as advocates have done based on our earlier research on the task force was to say, here's what we need to incrementally build a better system for childcare. Again, that works for the childcare center owners and the people providing care and the children and the parents and our economy and our businesses. You asked about, you know, our businesses, you know, are their eyes open a little bit more? One of the proposals in the governor's state of the state is a business tax credit, a business incentive to support childcare, whether it be, you know, building a site, supporting a site, whatever that may be. That's what really has to happen. I mean, fundamentally, we have to look at childcare differently. We can't look at it as it's something nice to have, and it doesn't matter what the quality is or how far you have to drive for it. You know, it is part of our infrastructure. Childcare is part of the infrastructure of our economy. And we need to look at it like that. And I do believe that locally we have the political will. I always give kudos to Maria White and Marie Cannon. And you know, Erie County was the only county in the state to step forward with their CARES money to support childcare providers and to support the establishment of virtual learning centers, which essentially were pop-up childcare centers for children who were either in school remotely and parents weren't home, or you know, or otherwise couldn't attend school. So, you know, I do believe that locally we've got the political will and the people at the table to make the decisions. We just need to make sure that the state does with the federal dollars what is being recommended.
So we did do some things right during this pandemic, at least on this issue.
Yeah, no, actually, there's been, I think the awareness, you know, I've said this often. So Western York Women's Foundation has been advocating for quality, accessible, affordable childcare and out of school programming as an essential workforce support for many, many years. And most of the time, you know, people looked at us like we were crazy. And I think what's really gratifying is, you know, finally people get it. They understand the role that childcare plays, again, as part of our essential infrastructure. And so, again, that gives people more political will. And I have heard business owners saying, we got to do something about this. Like, I didn't get it. Now I get it. And so, you know, school, obviously, we hope school will return to normal, if you will. But even so, the school, you know, is based on a 9-to-2 model. When you know, when June Cleaver stayed home, and that's not the reality for 78% of the moms now. So again, we have to restructure how we look at things and do so with a gender lens, because the reality of it is that women in the workforce and all the gains we've made, you know, over the last three decades, we haven't changed our systems. Now's the opportunity to say, okay, listen, it's not the way it was, you know, in the 50s. And so we have to look fundamentally at how we've set up the systems based on, you know, quite frankly, you know, white patriarchal society of, you know, of the 50s or earlier. What we're pushing out to the legislators right now is it is a summary of all the money in New York. We anticipate coming in after the House signs the American Rescue Act, and you'll get an idea of the breadth of what we're talking about. I mean, this is a lot of money.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's all this money being spread around, and it's supposedly out there, right? But people want to know, okay, how is it going to affect my life?
Yeah, and quite frankly, the state did not do a good job with the initial. So we originally got $163.3 million. And to date, they've only put about $40 million of that out. And then we got another, I can't remember how much the middle one was, 400 and some odd thousand dollars. So this summary I'll send you has kind of all of the money. And you know, and basically says, and I, you know, we as a foundation have been really strong on this point. And I use the analogy that, you know, if we want to stop Niagara Falls from flowing, right, we don't like take Band-Aids and put them all over and just, you know, throw good money after bad. We you know, we dig a reservoir off to the side and we redirect the water, right? And so, you know, what we're really looking at is redirecting that water, not putting a Band-Aid. And my fear as a fiscally, you know, astute person is that we will just throw good money away. And you know, and we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to do that from a system standpoint. We can't afford to do that from an equity standpoint. We can't afford to do that, you know, in terms of the future. This is our one shot. And so that's really, you know, how what we've been pushing is to make sure we do this in a responsible way.